Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
We're so thrilled to have with us tonight for the message portion of the prayer meeting some very special guests. They're no stranger to James River Church. They're really out of James River Church, but we have with us tonight Logan and Julie Banks. Logan and Julie serve in Burundi. It's a country, if you want to know where Burundi is, think of the African continent, and it's right in the center. And they're in a remote area. The town is Kibuye, but they have gone there with a group of doctors and have established a medical clinic, a hospital, and are training doctors, and they're doing it all in the name of Jesus. And it's so exciting. Maybe you'll remember that about 5 years ago, they were raising money and we got behind them as a church to help them, to send them there and to help them with, they have to raise money for the home they were going to build, money for the project of expanding the clinic, and then their own financial support. And it was a joy to get behind them then and now to have them back on furlough. They're here for several months, up to a year, to be able to reconnect with people, donors, and raise the money they're going to need for this next season of ministry as they head back to Burundi. But Logan and Julie, we are so thrilled to have you back.
Oh, we're so
and,
glad to be here.
Welcome back to Springfield, Missouri.
Yeah, it's great to be.
It's good to be back.
Great to be with you.
You had a challenge getting out of the country with COVID and all, and so talk a little bit about getting back here.
Yeah, there was a period of time where in mid-March, I would say, early to mid-March, that the U.S. government was saying, hey, if you want to get back to the United States, not just to us, but anyone that's living abroad, if you want to come back, you need to try and come back now, because countries' borders were shutting down, and Burundi did that. They closed down their borders, so it was a challenge trying to even get a flight to get here.
Yeah, we were planning on coming back home in June anyway, the 1st of June, and then as we saw, you know, country after country shut its borders, and we thought, well, this, you know, we might be there for the next 6 months to a year. We don't know when things would open back up. We're just thankful that, God opened the right doors. We were able to get a flight, and we've been back just about a month now.
You had to quarantine for a couple of weeks, correct?
That's right, because in the course of getting back, we went through at least 5 different airports, multiple countries, trying to pick up people along the way in Africa who were trying to get out. And so it was recommended to go through a really strict quarantine for 2 weeks.
As soon as you got to the States?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, which we did.
And you've only been back in Springfield for 2 days.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it reminds me how God takes things that are challenges and works good out of them, because I view this as just a blessing from the Lord that we get to have this conversation tonight.
Yes. Yeah, such a blessing.
So wonderful.
Talk a little bit, for those who maybe have never heard about it, Surge is the name of the ministry.
Correct.
And Logan did his residency. And it was in
Family practice,
and did it at Cox,
right.
Actually. And so once you were done with that, you almost immediately said, we're going to go to the mission field. And that was your goal as a couple. Mm-hmm. Maybe let's back up just a little bit and talk about this calling as a couple before you even married to go to missions.
Yeah, we felt, I mean, from the time that we were engaged, that the Lord had missions for us. But it was just kind of a big quotation, missions. We didn't know what that was gonna be, but we felt like we needed to be willing from day one of our marriage to say, okay, God will do whatever it is you want us to do, and we don't know what that is.
So you had nothing specific in mind?
No, we didn't.
Wow.
Because he still
he was
had
a doctor.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I knew going into medicine that God was calling me to use medicine as a way to serve him. And so when I proposed, I actually had I was in medical school still, and I had this rotation in Bolivia that was messing up all the plans.
It was just right in the middle of all of our plans, and I was trying to plan a wedding and all this, and we just took a day to fast and pray about when and where and all the questions you have about a wedding anyways, and I just felt like the Lord said, I want you to go on this trip with him, because I'd never even been on a mission trip. And I want you to serve with him, and that's how I want you to start your life together. And so it was almost like a giving of the first fruits of our time together. So we served on this month-long mission trip in Bolivia, and we got married with a pastor there, and said, okay, God, we're joining together on the mission field and ready. But then he had to finish training and do residency, and we lived here in Springfield, and we're very plugged in the church and very active and loving it and giving to missions. And so I think part of me thought, oh, okay, so this is what God meant when he said, you're called to missions, like give. But there was a time about 6 years ago that that we just felt like the Lord said, you need to go. And we had missionary friends that were already serving or had just started in Burundi, which I had never heard of the country. So if you haven't heard of it, it's okay. It's a very small country just south of Rwanda. And it's a French-speaking country. And they on purpose chose a place that is hard to get to, and that it doesn't receive a lot of missionaries, and didn't have any faculty for the med school, so they needed to fill the faculty. Wow. And we watched them start for about a year, and we thought, yeah, this is what we're supposed to do.
You know, I think the thing that really spoke to me was just, here's a couple, you could have a very comfortable life in the U.S. as a doctor, and could have supported missions generously. And you're saying, we're going to leave that behind, and we're going to trust God to provide for us, and we're going to go and do something in the heart of Africa. And when I heard that, I just remember thinking, man, we've got to get behind you. We want to help you, because that's a heroic. And I think anybody who goes to the mission field, I mean, you're heroes of the first order, and we just so admire that. So James River, we got behind you, and you've been so good to keep us updated on your ministry, but maybe describe where it is that you're at, what it is that you do in Burundi, what it's like a little bit in terms of the ministry there.
Yeah, so the hospital where I work is called Kibuye Hope Hospital. It's a 200-bed hospital located in the center of the country, and the medical school is Hope Africa University. And for me, my day starts with devotions and prayer in the hospital at 7:30. So we meet, there's a message to get the day started, and then we're rounding in the wards. Because I'm a family physician, I rotate through different areas of the hospital, but I've been on pediatrics most recently, and sometimes there's over 100 kids, babies, in the hospital.
Wow.
We have one of the only NICUs, neonatal units in the country, and then teaching. So I don't do anything without having a medical student there with me. So since we've been there in 2016, we've seen 173 medical students graduate from the medical program.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we just started this past year an internship. So one unique thing about Burundi is that they don't have residencies in the country. So after you graduate medical school here, you go through residency and you have a specialty. There, that doesn't exist yet. But we started one of the first postgraduate training programs where it's an internship, basically, where these young doctors, they're better trained medically, they're better trained spiritually to go out and care for their people. Mm-hmm. And we just found out that we've kind of taken a census of our graduates. We now have, you know, most of the doctors would focus on the capital because financially that makes the most sense. But we found out that about 40% aren't in the capital, and they have, our doctors are now in every province of Burundi. So they're spread
amazing.
Out all over
that
the
is
country.
Amazing.
That is an answer to prayer. That's what we wanted. We wanted these doctors to go out into the even more remote parts, and it's happening, and God's working. And
Talk a little bit about, because I think as we're listening to you, it can sound like, well, you got a clinic and you got a hospital, and it sounds very cosmopolitan. It sounds very modern. And so you're going there. You know, 5-6 years ago, you go to France, you do the language school, but you got a 4-year-old, a 6-year-old. Now you show up in Burundi. What's life, practically speaking? What are you living in? What does it look like? Maybe describe that.
When we arrived 5 years ago, there was no reliable electricity. And so we would go days without electricity, we'd go days without water, and which is hard for us, but these little tiny babies, they're in a neonatal unit. When you think about the little babies in that little box with the light bulb, they have to have that electricity. Yeah. And so last time we were here, we raised support for a solar field, and we have a solar field now. And so we are
happy. Is it more reliable now, the electricity?
Yes. And it powers the hospital.
The hospital the compound where you live.
Right. Yep.
Okay.
Right, yeah. So that's an amazing answer to prayer. Literally, life's saved. But it's a rural town, and most people walk around barefoot, and it's just, they're farmers, and
how many would be in the town?
You know, it's hard to say because it's not like they live in houses that you can just go and count. I mean, their farms are spread out all over the area, and there's lots of huts all over where they live. They go out, they're farming,
What do you eat?
Well, what is readily available is rice and beans, so that's kind of a staple. Mm-hmm. Because we don't have grocery stores. We're kind of at the mercy of the local markets. And meat is rare because it has to be purchased in the capital city. But we plan ahead, and we pack in our suitcases things that we might need in a year or two, like chocolate chips.
The special things.
Right.
But you know, you make that bag last as long as possible.
Exactly. Or brown sugar, just specialty
sweets.
Yes. Can you tell?
Pepperoni is a big one. Yeah. Those packages of pepperoni that don't need refrigeration. Yeah, we put that in our suitcase and kind of ration it out and make it special. So we were able to build a house thanks to James River. You guys, you know, raised support and said, hey, we want to have a house for you. And
did
so it was.
Did you actually build it? Or
like us?
Yeah.
No, because we want it to stand. No, we have an engineer actually among us.
Do you have running water in?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we do have.
Yeah, so there's a well there's actually a couple wells that pump water up to a large tank up at the top of the hill, and then that flows down. But that also is reliant on electricity. So when we would go without electricity for, you know, many hours or days at a time, then you wouldn't have water either.
What about internet?
Yeah, when we got there, it was like dial-up. It was, you know, that was the speed. And it's better now. It's much, much better. It's difficult to stream James River online in Burundi, but sometimes we have been able to. We've tuned in.
It's
been a blessing.
Yeah, it's we're saying when we first arrived, I mean, because like over these past 5 years, God has been with us, and he's been providing.
Fantastic.
And it's been amazing.
Wow.
But yeah, I remember when we first arrived, we'd been there about a month, and we went on a hike, and we went to the top of this huge rock kind of mountain type thing, and we looked at our phone and it popped up 3G, and we're like, 3G, let's try to FaceTime. And so we FaceTimed the grandparents, and we hadn't been able to see them. We had to hike to be able to just see their faces, and it was awesome. But now we have 4G on our compound, and so for the most part we're able to FaceTime with family and post pictures and
that's one.
Talk about your sons. Now you have a school, you're homeschooling, or you have a school within the compound. Talk about that and about the adjustment as you come back to the U.S. That's got to be shocking if you're used to living in a remote part of Africa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our boys are 11 and 9, and they are troopers. They're amazing. Our first year, we had to learn French first, and so we went to an immersive language school experience in France, and so they were just kind of tossed into the public school system there in France and in the deep end, and so they.
So they learned the language faster than you.
Yes.
Definitely at first.
Definitely.
Right, and then we moved to Burundi, and we really couldn't put our kids in the local Burundian school system. That just wouldn't translate. So our team of doctors, missionaries, we have a school basically that the kids go to. So it's like a really tiny. Private school, I would say.
What's it been like coming back to the States for you and the boys?
Oh, it's always kind of a little bit. It's like home, but it's also a little bit shocking too, just to see. Right now, our boys are fascinated with the billboards on the side of the highways. They're just reading every single thing and memorizing the phone numbers. And who are these people?
Did you know that you could go to Branson and see this show?
Yes. And did you know that you can call this number? And you tune it out when you live here because you see it all the time. But we never see billboards. And that concept is just really fascinating to the boys right now. And but they're so excited to be here, and although it's a little bit different now with the separation, they're asking about restaurants, or they're remembering all these fun places that we used to go to when we were in the United States, and so we're kind of just having to ease in.
Okay. Let me just say this to those who are watching tonight, that this is a ministry that is really not only unique, but is making such a difference in the heart of Africa. Mm-hmm. And we as a church have gotten behind Logan and Julie because we so believe in the way God has called them to carry the gospel to Burundi and the difference that it's making. And, we haven't had a chance because of the COVID epidemic and all the pandemic to focus on missions. We were going to do that in March, right when everything shut down. But this couple and what they're doing is one of the projects we really want to get behind. And so I'm asking you tonight, maybe you've been wondering about missions. I know I've gotten some emails where people are saying, what are we going to do for missions? This is one of the projects, and these are some of the people. And I wanted to take time tonight for them to share their story and for you to hear it so that you can know this is a couple we're supporting and we get behind them in a really big way because honestly, they need the support and we just believe in what they're doing and we really count them as one of James River's own missionaries in a unique way. And so we would really like to encourage you to invest in their ministry. You can go online, however it is that you normally give, and just designate it for the banks. So we'll get it to them, but we're so excited to have you with us tonight, and we just so believe in your ministry. I want to mention something as well, because you, right before you left, there was somebody that got into the compound, and it was kind of a little bit of a scary situation. Yeah. Tell the people about that.
Yeah. So where we live in Kibuye, it's a walled compound, about 8 acres, where all the missionary families and Burundian physicians, we all live together in this gated or this walled community. And it gets dark at 6 p.m., and it's very consistent because we're right at the equator. And while we feel safe, we also are smart. So we don't leave our houses after dark unless we're just running to the neighbor's house. But when we're in for dinner, then we're in for the night. And for the most part, we feel really safe. But unfortunately, there was one bad night. Do you want to?
Yeah, several months ago. Just after dark, it was a Saturday night, and armed robbers broke into the compound and went to the house of one of our neighbors and forced their way into the house with guns, aggressively you know, there was we're praising God. There was no loss of life on our team, but was aggressive with the family, tied them up, and was wanting to rob them, and thought that they would have a lot of money, which they didn't. And so it could have been really bad, but God sent an angel, and there was someone that was warned that this was happening, and a Burundian guard came and could see what was happening inside. Amazing. And raised such a ruckus outside that the guys inside thought that there must have been a lot of people there. I mean, it was a Gideon type moment, and they got scared.
Oh my goodness.
And rushed out and escaped, and then were pursued on foot even by this blessing to our team.
So, oh my goodness.
Incredible.
You know, and you know, I think there's times God lets us see things like that, but there's got to be a thousand other times that the angels of the Lord are encamped around you,
wow,
watching over you,
yeah,
protecting
praise
you.
God.
And so that's just such a wonderful story of God's ability to provide and
yes,
protect, and we pray protection over you. But as we get ready to pray here, how would you like us to pray for you and for your fellow missionaries there? We're going to pray here in just a moment. Tell us how we can pray for you.
Yeah, I would say, I know you've been speaking out of James 1, and it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, may he ask. And that just really resonated with me and with Logan. We ask for wisdom, you know, and right after that it says without doubt, because I think when we're in these situations where it can be so extreme, we might feel like we do hear word from the Lord, but then I think the enemy would come in with doubt,
mm-hmm,
right behind that. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I would just ask for prayer for wisdom in all the big decisions we make and the little decisions that we make here in the United States, but also in Burundi constantly. We're trying to feel out, we're living in two different cultures and in multiple, yeah, languages. And so really we need wisdom in that. And as far as just missionaries in general, us and our team there, but then also, all over the world, I just wanted to encourage the people of James River. You know, when we first decided to come, it was this big, I mean, James River was like this big wave of just of support to send us over there. But what you may not know is that with your support that you give, James River supports us every month. Whether it's a month where we feel like we have just messed up everything and or done nothing, or if it's the best month ever, like it doesn't matter. The people of James River are still supporting us, and that support that we get on a regular basis, I mean, is just like a hug from the Lord and from the body as a whole. We see you out there in Africa. we love you. We support you. And and I would say, like, this taste of isolation that unfortunately people are feeling, no matter what country they're in, is a little, just kind of a small taste of what, mm-hmm, your missionaries are going through on a regular,
yes,
basis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our kids, powerful, always, I mean, our relationship, their relationship with the grandparents is on text and, mm-hmm, email and a, mm-hmm, phone, and every couple years we get a hug, and
yeah,
and you can feel isolated. And so, you know, if you know of a missionary and their name comes to mind, just email them and say, hey, we
so
love
good,
you, we see you, you aren't,
yeah,
alone. And
so we would ask for prayer for Burundi,
yeah,
that the country would be protected from the pandemic, for their government. Their elections are happening right now, so we don't know even the outcome yet, but that's ongoing. So we just pray for peace, because that can be a really tumultuous time with the national elections, and just for our team that's still there carrying on the work,
yeah,
that God would strengthen them and protect them from this virus and from anything politically that might happen, and that the work can continue.
Yeah. Well, we so appreciate your heart. We're going to pray right now. And we want to pray not only for the things you mentioned, but we also want to pray for just this time, this season. Mm-hmm. You didn't ask for this, but we know you need it to just be renewed,
yeah,
emotionally,
yes,
physically, mentally, spiritually, because you've been carrying such a big load. And we pray that your time here is exactly that. Sorry it's during a time of a pandemic where you can't go do some of the fun things you want to do. But we pray that this will be a renewing time and that God will provide. And we as a church want to be a part of refreshing them with a generous offering and a renewed support for this next season of your ministry. And so Debbie, would you lead us in prayer?
Yes.
And let's pray for Logan and Julie.
Praise you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this precious time that we've gotten to share with Logan and Julie and to hear all the amazing things, God, that you're doing through them in Burundi. God, we're so thankful. We give glory to you, God, for the testimony of your grace that's been upon their lives, how you've led them and how you've grown their ministry. And God, we look to you on behalf of the needs that they carry right now. And as Julie said, God, one of their greatest requests of you is that you would provide them with wisdom. God, and we pray right now that you would grant them that request, that even as they're resting and gaining strength during this time, during this somewhat of a break from ministry, God, that you would speak supernaturally to their hearts and their minds, like preparing them, God, for the next chapter of their ministry. God, I pray that you would download to them specific things that you want them to do, and that you would guide them, God, directly in the way that you want them to go.
Yes.
God, and we pray for favor and blessing over them financially, emotionally, God. I pray, God, that you would just renew their strength in every way. God, I pray for this internship program, God, that Logan has had a part in launching, God. I pray that your favor would rest upon it, God, and that there would be fruitfulness through that internship that goes beyond what they could ever imagine to affect this country, not only physically bringing medical attention to rural parts of the nation, but God, also spiritually bringing a light of your gospel to people that need to hear it, God. And God, we pray for their boys, God. God, that you would just touch their hearts and lives, God. God, use this time, God, to strengthen them as well, God. Oh, God, you love them so much. And God, we just thank you for this family, for all that they're doing for you. God, we thank you for our time together as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.